Welcome to COTK Online. Looking forward to my time together with you today. Last week, we talked about how to grow in faith. This week, we're talking about how to fight in faith. In other words, to be able to trust God in the middle of difficult situations. And we are in Judges chapter 4, right out of the Old Testament, one of the most violent and crazy books in the Old Testament. But I do love it because there are such principles that we can learn that help us to not just grow in our faith. Well, it is. It's growing, but part of that growing is knowing you're going to have to fight because not everything goes perfectly in a broken, sinful world. In fact, Jesus made this promise. He said, "In this world, you'll have trouble." I don't like that, but that's what he said. But then he says, "Take heart, for I've overcome the world." So how do we fight in faith? Judges chapter 4, it's kind of the story of Jael, Deborah, Barak, Sisera's thrown in there. So I guess I can just give you the headline. Sisera is the commander of an army that's been attacking Israel. The king is Jabin Hazor. He's a Canaanite king. His right-hand army commander is Sisera. Sisera's been devastating Israel. The prophet at the time is a woman named Deborah, let me just read the story. How about that? Here we go. So it says that Sisera had 900 iron chariots, chapter 4, verse 2, about halfway through, and he ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Okay, I've got 4 points, but I'm going to give you some things you need to know first. This is if we're going to fight in faith, we have to know where, number one, here's three simple things of what we have to know if we're going to fight in faith. We have to know where our help comes from. And it's not just from our hand. Like, we have to do what we're called to do, but we have to know that we, in the middle of difficulties, should always cry out to God. If you remember last week, on how to grow in faith, part of it was praying for people. And for us, when we find ourselves in difficult situations, we need to cry out to God and say, "Lord, help me." He hears our prayers. It may take a while. And 20 years is a long time. So, but here's my question. How long have you lived in misery and oppression and getting your butt kicked before you cry out to God? I don't know, maybe it's immediate and it's just taken 20 years and God has a purpose and a plan for it, but you've got to know where your help comes from. It says, the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. It says, then Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at that time. In other words, she was the voice of God to the people of Israel, and she was a prophet. She would sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites would go to her for judgment. And one day she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. And she said to him, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Call about 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out Sisera, the commander of Jabin's armies." Remember, Sisera's the bad guy, so is Jabin, "along with his chariots and warriors to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him." So here's what you have to know before we get into really what we've got to do to fight in faith is, number one, you got to know where your help comes from. Number two, you have to know what victory entails. It always entails other people around you because you're not going to defeat the enemy isolated and alone. You're just not, because God always speaks to a people. He speaks to individuals and he speaks to a person, but the calling that he has for them is always with other people because we are better together, and that victory always entails working with other people. So the people cry out to God. 20 years they've been oppressed. We're called to cry out to God. Then God speaks to Deborah, the prophet, the one who's judging Israel. She's the leader of Israel at the time. And he says, "Hey, go to Barak and tell him, get 10,000 warriors from Zebulun and Naphtali, and y'all go out and y'all fight Sisera." And here's the third thing, because we see the next verse after she says to Barak, she calls him out, says, "Get 10,000 warriors from Naphtali and Zebulun and go defeat Sisera. You're going to have victory." And then Barak told her, "I will go, but only if you go with me." Here's the third thing you got to know. It's okay to ask for help. Man, I've been taught this, that like Barack was a weakling and he didn't have enough faith. Now, I don't know if that's true, but like Deborah didn't seem to get too upset that he asked for her to be with him. Like, it's okay. I honestly, I'm reading this with fresh eyes. I think Barack was pretty humble. He's like, hey, I'm going to go. I don't know. Maybe he was scared. It's okay to ask for help. Even if you're scared, as long as you recognize that being scared and having fear are two different things. Having fear is a lie of the enemy that's designed and when fulfilled keeps you from stepping out into the destiny of God. Being scared is like, man, this is crazy. I can't believe it. And sometimes you do need people around you. And so he says, I'll go, but only if you go with me. Very well, she replied. I'll go with you, but you'll receive no honor in this venture. For the Lord's victory over Sisera will be at the hands of a woman. Barack didn't seem to care. He was okay with that. It's not about us anyway. I want us to have honor in this, that our character is aligned with Christ, that we look like Jesus. As long as we recognize that it's him that wins anyway, we're all right. So here's what happens with the story. So, you know, Sisera's got his 900 chariots, his men, but Deborah goes to Barack and says, Barack, come on, let's go down and defeat Sisera. You're going to have victory. And, you know, Barack says, okay, you come with me. She's like, I will, but I want you to know that the honor and the glory for this battle isn't going to go to you. It's going to go to a woman. Barack was all right with that. So what happens next? Well, Barack goes out, calls the 10,000 men from Zebulun and Naphtali to come fight with him, and God throws the whole enemy army into complete and utter chaos. So the 10,000 Israelis come down, and they're fighting. They go to fight, but God stirs up Sisera's whole army. They completely freak out. In fact, it even says this. It says, the Lord threw Sisera and all its chariots and warriors into a panic, and Sisera leaped down from his chariot and escaped on foot. It's not even logical. It doesn't even make sense. Because listen to me. That's how God works. This is how God fights our battles. We have to trust his word and walk in obedience and step out when he tells us to step out. We have to engage in the battle, just like Barack and those 10,000 warriors did. But it's God who brings victory. In fact, it doesn't make sense that Sisera would leave his chariot. It's 10,000 men on foot, and he's in a chariot. And so he starts running. It says, then Barack chased the chariots and the enemy army all the way to Haresh Hagayim, killing all of Sisera's warriors. Not a single one was left alive. In other words, it's a complete and utter rout because God showed up and stirred up craziness and panic in the enemy army because Barack was obedient, because he had heard the cries of his people, because Deborah called to Barack and operated herself in obedience to get Barack, just like the Lord said, that Barack stepped out in faith and called the 10,000 warriors to go defeat a foe that they did not think was defeatable. And Barack said, hey, Deborah, you come with me. She says, I will, but you're not going to get the glory. A woman will. And Barack was all right with that. And he still rallied the 10,000 men, and they all went down in what they thought was surely suicide, because horses and chariots versus men on foot, man, that's usually not a fair battle. But God showed up, and all of them have been killed with the exception of Sisera. Look at verse 17. Meanwhile, Sisera ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Because he was outside of where most Israelis were living. It says that in verse 11. I just didn't touch on it, but Heber the Kenite was friendly with King Jabin, and he knew Sisera. So Sisera ran to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because Heber's family was on friendly terms with the King Jabin of Hazor. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, come into my tent, sir, come in. Don't be afraid. So he went into her tent, even though she's an Israelite, she's Israeli. She's calling out to Sisera, and she covered him with a blanket. Please give me some water, he said. I'm thirsty. So she gave him some milk from a leather bag and covered him again. Stand at the door of the tent, he told her, and if anybody comes and asks you if there's anyone here, say no. But here's what you got to do. If you want to fight in faith, you got to know where your help comes from. It comes from God. You got to know that victory always entails other people, and it also entails action on your part. And you got to know that it's okay to ask for help. But here's what you got to do. When you recognize what God's doing, you better know this for sure. You want to win the fight that you're in and the struggle that you have and your walk and where you are. You have to do this. You have to end your friendship with the enemy. You have to end your friendship with the enemy. I mean, it sounds to me like Heber the Kenite. It says in verse 11 that Heber the Kenite, a descendant of Moses' brother-in-law, Hobab, had moved away from the other members of his tribe and pitched his tent by the oak of Zananeum near Kadesh. He's living out by himself, and he gets to be on friendly terms with the king. And so the king thinks that he's an ally. But when the battle comes, he ends, actually his wife does, completely ends the friendship with the enemy, because we have to be willing to end our friendship with the enemy, because look what she does. When Sisera fell asleep, verse 21, from exhaustion, Jael quietly crept on him with a hammer and a tent peg in her hand. Here's the second thing. You got to know what's in your tent. You've got to know what's in your tent. He asked for water. What'd she give him? Milk. You know why? Because you drink nice, they didn't have refrigerators, and he's exhausted. He's drinking some warm milk, and he's been running. He's lost his entire army. He's completely defeated. He drinks a big old glass of milk. He asks for water. She gives him milk. He drinks that milk. You know what milk does? Makes you go to sleep. All that nice sugar in that milk, and it feels so good. And he's out like a light. She knew what she was doing because she knew it was in her tent. She knew that even though she was just the wife of Heber the Kenite, she knew this. I got milk. I got the ability to make this enemy feel like this is a safe place. But I also got a tent peg and a hammer. What should I do with that? Well, let's see. Sisera fell asleep from exhaustion. Jael quietly crept up on him with a hammer and a tent peg in her hand. Then she drove the tent peg through his temple and into the ground, and so he died. Listen, if the enemy's in your house, you got to end that friendship with him. You got to know that that what is in your house, God has already given you the tools to deal, and here's the third thing, deal ruthlessly with the enemy. So how do you fight in faith? You end your friendship with the enemy. You know that what is already in your tent, you may say, I've had the enemy living in my tent with me. You also have tools from the Lord that he's going to use to defeat the enemy if you trust him. But you have to, here's the third thing. You just don't just end your friendship. You don't just know what's in your tent. You have to deal ruthlessly with the enemy. She lulled this man to sleep. The enemy commander of the army, while he's sleeping, she takes a tent peg and a hammer. And just think about that. She puts that up against right close to his head. She's probably not touching his head because she doesn't want him to wake up. And then there's that forceful whack, that first thing. And she's like, I got to get it through this man's skull. She had to do it violently and ruthlessly. And she doesn't just drive it through one side of the skull. She pins him to the ground to make sure he's dead. This is how we must deal with the enemy, ruthlessly. Ruthlessly. This is how we win the fight. I got to know that my help comes from God, that I need people in my life, that it's okay to ask for help. That's not a bad thing. But we can't be friends with the enemy. We can't be friends with the enemy. We got to know that what's in my house, what's in my space, God has given me the tools and the people right where I am to put the enemy to death. Now, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about from the pit of hell, the demonic horde, those tormenting things that torment us. That's the enemy. It's not people. God's given us the tools to put that to death. But we can't be friends with the enemy. We got to know that victory is there. We've got the ability right around us to put the enemy to death. We have to deal ruthlessly with the enemy. Ruthlessly. You got to shame and kill. Like, you got to deal ruthlessly where the enemy has oppressed you. Whether that's with self-esteem, whether that's with depression, whether that's with pride and ego, whatever it is. My prayer for you is that you can see the enemy that is in your tent. It may have been a friend at one point. Maybe you've dealt with something that at first it felt like it was a friendly thing. It was a good thing, but your eyes have been opened. Kill the friendship pick up the tools that God's placed right next to you. Deal ruthlessly with the enemy. And I'm just going to read on because it's so key. So he died. So she picks up the hammer and the tent peg in her hand. She drove the tent peg through his temple and into the ground. So he died. And when Barak came looking for Sisera, Jael went out to meet him, she said, and she said, "Come, I'll show you the man that you're looking for." So he followed her into the tent and found Sisera lying there dead with a tent peg through his temple. Verse 23. So on that day, Israel saw God defeat Jabin, the Canaanite king. I'm going to read that again because though Jael was honored, even sang songs about the victory. Though Jael was honored, it was God who won the victory, and everybody recognized it. So on that day, Israel saw God defeat Jabin. Listen, yeah, you got to recognize where the enemy is, get off of friendly terms, pick up the tools God's placed around you, ruthlessly deal with the enemy, but you got to know that it's God that's defeating him. And from that time on, Israel, this is so key in verse 24, and from that time on, Israel became stronger and stronger against King Jabin until they finally destroyed him. Because here's the last thing. How do you fight in faith? Don't be friendly with the enemy. Know that God's placed and right around you the tools to defeat him. So you better deal ruthlessly with the enemy. And once that one enemy's dead, guess what? You still got to keep fighting. You'll grow stronger and stronger, but it's always a process. And as long as you're breathing, you're going to be fighting. You're just not going to be losing if you follow Jesus, because he's already broken the curse. He's already broken it. You just have to know that your help comes from him, that victory comes from him, and your responsibility, break off friendly terms with the enemy. Use the tools he's placed around you. And when you have an opportunity to deal a death blow, and you'll know it, you do it. You don't hesitate, and you never look back. I want you to know that the moment that you give your life to Christ, it doesn't mean that life becomes easy. Now listen, you give your life to Christ and you fully surrender, there's almost always a grace period. It seems like everything that you do, God's using you and he's with you and he's going before you and defeating the enemy. But at some point, you'll also realize you have a responsibility. How do you grow in faith? How do you fight in faith? That was last week. It's almost like two sides of the same coin. You got to know that God's called you to stand up and go. So if that's you and you're here and you say, this is for me. Maybe you've been living on friendly terms with the enemy. Maybe you've been afraid to finally put that thing to death. God's calling you to do that right now. How do you do that? You cry out to him for help. You just say, Lord Jesus, maybe that's you. Just pray with me. We're going to cry out to him for help. We're going to know that he's given you the ability to pick up that hammer, metaphorically speaking, and that tent peg and put the enemy to death. And then just like Jael went out and said, hey, Barak, over here, let me show you what God's done, that you rally around other people that can see what God's done, and you realize that the fight continues. So maybe that's you need to pray. Just pray with me. Say, dear Jesus, I'm calling out to you for help. Maybe you know there's an area where the enemy's oppressing you. Jesus, I need your help. Help me to see what you've put right around me. And that this enemy, I reject him. That I reject him and turn from him. I turn to you, whatever that thing that's oppressing you. And you deal ruthlessly with it. And you say, Jesus, I'm not afraid to put that thing to death and to step outside and let everybody know that thing's dead. Acknowledge, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I trust that you're the one who really breaks the curse of sin. And so I'm aligning with you. And I'm saying right now, I need you. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Listen, if that was you and you prayed that prayer and you meant it, let us know what's going on. My heart as a pastor is to see you not just grow in faith, but to win every battle. And you need people around you. It's already in you. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, the curse has been broken. Like, he's got the people around you and he's got the tools around you to defeat the enemy. You just got to step into it. As a pastor, I want to see you do that. So drop us a line. Let us know how we can be a blessing to you, how we can answer any question you have, any resources, any relationships you need. We're here. Love you guys. See you soon. God bless.